or the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News New Orleans crash. I'm Brian Clark. 10 people are dead. 30 were taken to hospitals after authorities in New Orleans say someone intentionally drove into a crowd on Canal and Bourbon Street.
The French Quarter was packed with New Year's Eve and Sugar Bowl revelers as midnight rang in 2025. About 3 hours later, the crowd was still thick on Bourbon Street when, according to police, the driver of a pickup truck or SUV intentionally plowed through the throng of people. Investigators tell ABC News the driver sped away. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The FBI is assisting in the investigation. That driver is still at large. Bourbon Street's a focal point of the New Orleans tourism scene. And today, the city hosts the Sugar Bowl college football playoff quarterfinal game between Georgia and Notre Dame. Again, 10 people are dead, 30 hurt and taken to hospitals after a vehicle drove through a crowd in New Orleans. The driver is still at large. This is ABC News. Today in South Korea, grieving relatives of Sunday's deadly plane crash victims gathered to pay their respects. All but two of the 181 people on board the Boeing 737-800 were killed when the plane landed on its belly, slammed into a concrete wall at the end of the runway, and burst into flames. A man's in critical condition after he was pushed onto the subway tracks in New York Tuesday. The 23-year-old suspect was arrested soon after police released video of the incident. ABC's Sonia Rincon has details.
Kamel Hawkins was quickly apprehended and held here at 59th Street thanks to transit cops looking for the person in that video. He is charged with attempted murder and assault as a felony. Police believe this was random. They say he did not know the victim and said nothing to him before pushing him in front of that train.
The person burned alive sleeping on a subway car last week has been identified as a 57-year-old New Jersey woman. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Edgar Sawyer gave his home to the city of Oshkosh for the benefit of the public. In 1924, the Oshkosh Public Museum first opened its doors. The museum has grown since the 20s, including the addition of the Steiger Wing in the 80s, with expanded gallery spaces and dedicated archives. Be sure to check out the newly remodeled second floor with contemporary Native American art and Tiffany stained glass windows. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4:30. Plan your next visit this weekend at oshkoshmuseum.org.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million in change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks come back to beat the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks picked up a win on the road with a 120-112 victory over the Pacers in Indiana. Giannis led with 30 points and 12 rebounds after only scoring 4 points in the first half. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, that's Giannis being Giannis. He was struggling, couldn't catch his breath. When you don't play and then you try to play, you have the bobbles. And I don't know how many times he just bobbled the ball. You can feel it. So in a way, he got through it in the first half, and then he got his rhythm in the second half.
Giannis asked, how did would feel after missing the last 9 days with back spasms and an illness.
I feel like I was a rookie again out there. You know, trying to figure out things as I went. You know, I'm a basketball player, I'm a competitor. First half wasn't a great half, but I feel like in the second half, we were able to move the ball better, had a little bit more rhythm, got to my spot, and helped my team win.
College hoops, number 8th ranked Marquette over Providence, 78-50. NFL, the Packers working on New Year's Day, holding practice, getting ready to host the Bears on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are going to have a mix of clouds and sunshine here on New Year's Day. Our high right around 29 this afternoon with wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, 15. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 26. Friday will be mostly sunny and cooler with a high in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back to this very special New Year's Day episode of Mino and the Mayor. I'm Amanda. The guys are off today, but we're not leaving you empty-handed as it is a very special Let's Get Physical edition of the show. Up next, we're going to be centering more about mental health and how to help each other in the community. So stick around. The guys are up next.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hey, we love this guy, Grant Soletsky, who is in the 127 32nd Division of the United States National Guard, based right here in Green Bay. A very, very proud and prestigious group, wouldn't you say, in their history over time?
Oh, yeah. Did you know the little history of the 32nd in World War II?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
New Guinea.
No.
Okay. And then Luzon.
Well, yeah, everything.
New Guinea, Luzon, Philippines.
So the 32nd has the longest running concurrent time in World War II of any any branch, any reserve, active, whatever it is. I think it was like 632 days.
Yeah, and they actually, you know, everybody says that Guadalcanal was the first victory, and it really wasn't. New Guinea actually was, because they cleaned the Japanese out of Buna before Guadalcanal was completely solidified. So, and they went right from Port Moresby all the way up through the mountains. And it was one of the worst things, worst conditions on the face of the earth, Jim. This is no lie. And these are a bunch of kids from Wisconsin and the UP and places like that. It was the worst. MacArthur screwed them over so bad. They had like winter equipment and guys were like, they had no, it was terrible. Their uniforms just literally rotting right off of them. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And they were like serious headhunters living in those, like if you got lost or you got left and these headhunters would find you, they would literally cut your heads off and hang them because that was a sign of masculinity for them. It was horrible. And they took on the Imperial Japanese Army, which was one of the best fighting forces in the history of the world. And these kids from Wisconsin and Michigan in the Midwest, who were just all normal people, they weren't professional soldiers. They were, you know, once a week they would drill because they would get $1 for each drill, and the beer was 5 cents, and that's where they would join. And all of a sudden, they're taking on the most fierce army in the world, and they beat them.
And kicking butt.
And kicking butt. It's incredible what the 127, the 32nd Division did. Just incredible.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, congratulations on being a part of that, Grant.
Are you still getting those kind of people?
Here and there.
So Grant is a recruiter.
So I'm Grant's recruiter at the 127.
Right. You've been there for a little while.
I joined in 2013. I joined as an old man. I was 34 when I got in. So, but yeah, I'm an infantry guy. That's what I joined as, and now obviously a recruiter. But my first go-to is to find the killers out there. And
the killers. What's the talent pool, so to speak, out there these days for military?
it's there. It's just you gotta. It's sorry.
That's okay.
I'm talking move, in front no, of the microphone.
You do whatever you want. Just
trying to drink coffee and talk at the same time. The talent pool's there. We spend a lot of time in high schools. Obviously, it's summer break right now, so I really enjoy summer break to get out because, well, sitting in high schools all day is something. But I would say 1% is our like our number, right? 1% of the population serves in some form or fashion.
Yep.
And that rings true for the most part. The force that we're really looking for, especially in the National Guard, is the adult force. The people who've been in it for a while, people who've run a business, people who know about the different functionalities of starting in the mailroom. You know, like start at the bottom of a business and you work your way up. That's the same thing in the military. You start as a private. You're taking out the garbage, you're sweeping the floors. And when we can get people that appreciate that route from the civilian side and be able to come into the guard, like they understand. So it's not like a lot of kids nowadays, you tell them to clean their room and you sweep the floor, like that's below me.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing to get people to understand. And then in order to get them to flow through and to gain rank and to go up through the process, like you have to start there. And if they're not willing to do that, then they go away.
Forget it. Yeah.
That is so important. And I think even in business, you see that when you bring someone in and they, like we always joke about, they want to start on second base or third base. It's just like,
and acts like they hit a triple.
Well, and you don't learn as much either. You're not as effective as a manager unless you did work your way up, and you can move rather quickly.
Sure.
Know? I mean, it's not like it's a forever. And I think some people look at that.
Yep.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about, and with the listeners that we have out here, how difficult it is. I mean, you don't take anybody. And I think when Johnny and I were in school.
Don't take just anybody.
Well, remember when we were in high school, it's like, well.
They would take anybody. Actually, the bottom of the rung sometimes were the main ones they would go after.
It's not like
and
that.
And I hate to say, I hate to be put it that way, but.
But here we are 50 years or 40 years later. You guys are, you
it was,
go
it,
after the best.
It was the last option, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. Now it's between the ASVAB. ASVAB's just the ACT of the Army. And by gosh, out of 10 that we send from local high schools, not all, local meaning statewide, I would say, out of 10, 3 pass.
Wow.
And 31 is the minimum to get in. And we just have a struggle with that. And then on top of that, law violations, if you have any medical history, you took ADHD medication, well, through COVID, right? So we had antidepressants, anxiety medication, and ADHD. Those three pills, hand them out like candy.
Right.
And you take them, it's 3 years.
You can't get in.
No.
Wow. You know, I actually had a judge suggest to me one time, this is no lie when I was in high school, because I got a couple of little tickets, I got in some trouble with whatever, okay? And he said, you ever think about joining the military to get straightened out? Honest to God.
Yeah. Is your dad standing next to you?
No. Actually, I went to talk to the judge on my own so to convince him not to get it in the paper what happened, whatever, so my dad wouldn't see it. It was just an accident. It wasn't anything major, but it was one of those things where, you know. But, you know, another thing with those days versus these days, Grant, is once the, you know, when I was the last class that had to register for the draft. Okay. So you're a year behind me. You wouldn't have, I was the last group like that had to, then it was never, you know, and then it started up again a few years later. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is when they were talking about a volunteer army, I remember everybody saying, there's no way nobody's going to join you. Cause it seemed like such a, like you said, last resort, you know, people were getting drafted and they hated getting drafted and they'd come back and tell people don't join. Don't, you know, it was a really, really tough time. Yep. In the mid-70s, but I am shocked, or not shocked, but pleasantly shocked, I guess, that when 9/11 happened, boy, our people, men and women, it was almost like a World War II thing lining up, sign me up, join. Is that still there? Is that patriotic feeling still there?
No.
No. Okay.
So, and that's what the numbers are compared to, in my opinion.
Okay.
The numbers are compared to early time, like recruitment numbers,
right,
as far as force goes. The patriotism is still there, it's just not in mass.
Okay.
But
so I want to know what you think about, there's countries that you serve 2 years. Israel. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think every single kid right now should serve 2 years of civic service of some form or fashion.
We had a basketball player at UW Green Bay from Norway, and he, same thing, he loved it. He says the greatest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just gain so much. One, you go off the basic training by yourself. You have to go and fall down by yourself and get up by yourself and create this whole...
How tough is basic training these days compared to the old days?
It varies per drill sergeant and per cycle. Because everyone... So once a group of drill sergeants come into their cycle, their group, it's their group.
Right.
So there's a set regimen of what they have to do in the training. But as far as their how they...
Treat the people.
How they treat them and how the rewards for screwing up happen, that's all on them. So some people have a really decent, okay time, and some people just get their butts kicked every day.
But you get your butt kicked?
Oh, yeah. They hated me because I was old.
But you're in such amazing shape, and you're a CrossFit instructor.
No, I was good. But I was, dude, they beat me up.
Wow.
Because I was old. So they was like, you think you know everything, old man? I'm like, I didn't say a thing. Like,
holy
But Grant, what you're saying is, I wanted you to talk through the 2 years. What a gift that would be to spend 2 years. But that first time is just more individual. I can do this.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because I think
self-confidence.
Some people lack that. And mm-hmm. they're,
but well, even what he said about going off by yourself. You don't have
well, you're scared.
To lean on.
I like that.
No one wants to make a dive into doing things these days. It's all, I'm going to wait for the perfect moment. I'm going to wait for this. I'm going to wait for this. And the moment goes. Comes and goes like the wind. So it's like for these people that go out and do this and they go and prove to themselves that they can do this. And they come back from basic training, shoulders up. Yeah. Ready to rock and roll.
That's awesome.
Whether you're going to go to college or get a job, whatever it is, they have these skills now. From like, in order to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. Simple as that. Like, you have to be able to follow your leadership. And employees these days have a very tough time following that management. Whether it's they're 18 and the kid that's managing is 19.
Yeah.
And there's headbutting going on with that, but in the military they do that in the same age kind of groups, same thing, and they learn how to like roger that, just go get the job done. You may not agree or disagree, whatever it is, with the person who's giving you these orders or this direction, but you go do it, get it done, and you grow.
I find that really interesting. We had 1,000 employees where I worked, and different ages, right? It would go from, I don't, maybe not 18, but I shouldn't say that. I was younger than that. But in the summer, we had kids for the pool, and then we've got people who are in their 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to learn how to talk to the different groups in their language in terms of, you know, somebody like my age.
I get what you're saying.
But in the military, they don't do that, huh? It's just like one language?
Well, we kind of have to, though. So we've had to change our ways a little bit. Like, we have to modify a little bit to this new, because the new group, the new generation is why. Like, why? And before, it's like, it doesn't matter your why. But the problem is now you don't tell them their why, and they just break down and stop.
Wow.
And so we need to figure out, we had to, like, and specifically me, because I'm just that guy, like, just go do it.
Right.
Stop being a,
right.
a few random swear words
and get
it done.
Right.
And that doesn't work.
I'll be darned. So, are you even allowed to swear?
Oh, I don't know, but I do.
I think the answer is yes.
This is scotch, but...
You know, I will say this. So you mentioned about when, their shoulders are out after. The Marine recruiters years ago, 10 years ago, maybe more, had me go to San Diego to shoot a video for them.
Okay.
That they're going to use for when they go to schools and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool because right there at the footprints where they come off the bus. But what I was saying is then we're also there when they came off the crucible, which is the toughest. It's the end. It's the final exam, so to speak.
Yep.
It's so difficult. You can't believe it. And here's these drill instructors, and they're tough dudes who had just been beating these people for months and months. And now he's like, I can't tell you how proud I am of you.
Yeah,
let me
that's
tell
cool.
you something.
Yeah.
I thought I broke you, and you showed me. You want to talk about this 150-pound kid all of a sudden swelling with
chest.
That's
exactly
right. It was the greatest moment of their lives, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Grant Smoletsky is joining us right now. He's from the 32nd Army Recruiter. And we're going to talk a little CrossFit as well. Back after this. CrossFit. Detroit, Chicago, Chattanooga.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a beautiful Wednesday morning, being joined by Grant Zaletsky, United States Army recruiter at the 32nd Division down on military and a former owner of a CrossFit gym.
Mm-hmm.
Gym, my gym next to me here. Still does not believe I did CrossFit.
I sure did. Oh, come on, Grant.
Yep. Yeah, it was 2010? Right when I opened.
So. Yeah. Yeah, right when you opened. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Because I think your sister or somebody contacted me and said...
Is that how you and I got hooked up? I talked about it on the radio.
And she said, you got to... Because I was talking about, I got to find a new way to get in shape. Mm-hmm. And she said, I got one for you. And I thought, oh, okay, it's a gym. I'll go down there. I'll do a couple of things. Grant didn't know CrossFit was a different animal.
What happened?
Well, nothing really.
Yeah, you're right.
He came in.
He's honest.
He slimmed down for a little while.
I lost 11 pounds.
Yeah, you look good. You busted your butt. It was you and my mother-in-law, Lois, were there a lot.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember her. Absolutely.
Yep.
She's still there today.
No kidding.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, good for her.
Yeah. Well, John, if Lois is still there.
Well, he sold the gym.
Was Johnny there until you sold the gym?
No.
No, but I.
See, he comes up with.
I got a new hip. I had to get an artificial hip.
What was it?
I got an artificial hip.
Grant,
my
I gotta
hip
ask
was hurting
this.
So bad.
So, okay, so John wants me. Todd.
Hey, you want to have a little burpee contest?
No, I just want to say, I want to hear this from Grant because he is the owner of CrossFit and in is unbelievable shape. Can you still be in shape with an artificial hip and work out at CrossFit?
Actually, artificial hips are they're pretty quick recovery.
Some.
For a full transplant. Yeah, full thing.
Yeah, full thing.
And yeah, we have people in the gym that have artificial hips.
Okay,
so,
John.
Yes, and you can be a phenomenal. But it all starts in the kitchen.
All right. There you go.
I still say some of those exercises or some of those things, whatever you want to call them, in CrossFit are as grueling as any sporting activity that you can come up with. Would you agree?
So the way I look at it, it mimics real life.
Like,
if you don't know what's going to be in front of you today.
That's
whether
right.
Whether it's raking a giant pile of leaves or moving a pile of rocks or whatever it may be that you have in front of you, CrossFit is full range of motion of everything, right? So shoulders, legs, core, you name it, you're doing it. Like, here's your job, go do it. It's very military too.
I never
because he has personal trainer. We're just gonna talk about this.
Okay.
Yeah,
but they have to hold him up because he can't do a lunge without falling
that's
over.
That's not true, John. He's never been there.
Todd, did he say that to you?
No, I did not say that.
He uses a pole. That's all.
You have to have walking poles now to do lunges.
Just one pole on occasion.
Ski poles.
So Tom Fabry was on our show.
Oh, Tommy was.
Yes.
Yep.
Remember him? He won the CrossFit, and he was 62.
He's still competing.
He is.
Yeah, he made it again to the games this year. He's going on 4 years now that he made it.
Okay, I was just going to say it's not too late for John to rejoin.
It's not too late.
Okay, that's my point.
It's not too late for you to join.
Yeah, good point.
Why don't you guys do it together for a week?
I would do it if you do it.
We can hardly make it through the show.
Todd says, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I could not do, though, no matter what? The rings where you have to lift yourself up and do weird things on the rings.
Yeah, I don't have that gymnastics aspect.
I would say 95% of people can't. But 5%, but it's a goal to attain to. So that's another thing with CrossFit. There's always something you stink at, and you're like, I want to do that.
But the difference, if somebody's just watching CrossFit, you think, okay.
There's not a lot of excuses, but go ahead, John.
It's not that bad, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, I remember even with the barbells, okay, it had to be done perfectly. I remember you screaming at me, no. I mean, one thing about CrossFit, it's got to be just exact, right?
Well, so it's repetition of movement. So like cleaning a barbell, snatching a barbell, whatever movement it is with a barbell, deadlifting, squatting, whatever, there's mechanics to it. And it's the repetition of mechanics over and over and over and over again that is going to create. So we can chase perfection, obviously, like we're never going to get there, but that's the goal. So that's what I was such a pain in your butt back in the day. But
you were on me. You were on me.
Yeah.
And John, how long was he there? 10 days?
A couple months
for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
He would show up every time he was supposed to be there. He never did show.
No, CrossFit, I never missed
the nice thing about CrossFit, we were talking, that's not the most expensive workout regarding equipment. You know, you go to Western and I don't know, they may have hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, but I mean, CrossFit something you can do with
I started it. So I started in my garage and I also wanted to start a gym, but I didn't have the money to put out $250,000 for like just your tiny gym with the equipment. Right. But for CrossFit, I could do it for $30K, and that's a handshake loan at the bank. And I knew Brent Jensen back in the day. He used to be associated in Business Bank. I think he's at Community First now. But anyhow, he's like, yeah, good to go. And I bought a few wall balls, bought a few rowers, a few barbells, and then, because you were in the first place.
Yep.
And it was a whole, like, we took a daycare, tore out the,
yep, exactly.
The second floor. Yep. Got a recipe, Mike Krajewski. And we just started there, and slowly but surely, we built up. So every new member, every month that I was a little in the black, it took me like 3 months to get in the black. And then once I got there, I just bought new stuff. I almost swore. and just kept slowly but surely building up. And then when I sold it, we had a 10,000 square foot facility with
nice.
And I'm a hoarder of equipment. Oh, I bought everything.
That's cool.
And that's how that gym grew to what it is today.
What's harder, a really tough CrossFit workout session or a day in boot camp?
I would say a day in basic training for sure.
Okay.
There are horrible workouts, but you're never going to go over an hour and a half.
Right.
But basic training, like, you're up 0-4, and then occasionally you have this all-night crap, and, yeah, it's a long
Do you guys do the rappelling walls?
Yep, so the first week of basic training, you go through, like, the team building and the confidence building, and, yep, rappel wall is one of them.
Jim says he was really good at that in ROTC.
I was scared to death of it.
Were you?
I rappelled off Lambo.
Did you? No way.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was scared, though. I'll admit that. I did not like that.
No.
Because you have to trust the rope and let go. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, and you have to hold rope with your hands and not screw up.
But you're not really holding. You're really kind of guiding.
Guiding
it
through,
you're not really holding the rope. But guys say, let go. And I'm like, dude, I do not want to let go.
You fart or sneeze, and you're like.
Right. That's
the fear.
And that's high. I mean, we repelled at St. Norbert. That was like nothing. Yeah. But that Lambo.
Where on Lambo did you do that?
Right off the top of the building. It was a fundraiser, so we could get $1,000.
But the firefighters or something?
No, it wasn't the firefighters. I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
But you don't have a choice in basic training, right? You're going to repel.
You're going to repel. and you do it. And and you do. So that's, again, that's one of those confidence things. You go there and, like myself, like, dear sweet baby Jesus, no. And I did it and got out there. And by the time I got down, I'm like, oh, that was super fun. I'm like, I do that again. And as I walked away and didn't do it again.
Yeah. Well, even like at the Marine thing I was at, they've got the thing, I think it's called Stairway to Heaven, where it's almost, I remember in the movie Full Metal Jacket, they've got that. It's almost like old telephone poles, you know, horizontal going up, but they're all different lengths apart from each other and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, so a shorter guy would have a tougher or whatever. And no safety net. There's like wood chips on the bottom. Yep. And if you fall,
you fall.
80 feet, you fall. Yep. And I told people, I said, I don't think I could ever do that. I said, if you were in, you would do it. I said, well, he said, you'll be so afraid of that drill instructor on what's going to happen to you if you don't, on how he's going to make your life so miserable that you will do it.
Yeah. And the fear of failure.
The fear of failure amongst the other guys.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Huge motivator for
myself.
And
peer pressure.
And you just want to say how much you learn from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just talk. That's a life skill.
Yeah.
That, you know, that confidence, shoulders back. And
it's I can attitude.
Right.
Yep. Well, Grant, first of all, I'm just really proud of you. I mean, 34 to join the military, the way you did it was just phenomenal. What you're doing now,
Thanks so much.
In the last few seconds, and first of all, thanks for the gifts. Thanks for the MREs.
You're welcome, just in case you got hungry.
Good to have some beef strips and a savory tomato-based sauce.
Yeah, should be pretty tasty.
Hell yeah.
If somebody's thinking about joining the National Guard, what should they do?
Yeah, contact Sergeant Seletsky, 920-915-0246. With your only reserve element in the state of Wisconsin, offers 100% college education, and you get to pick your job as long as you score well on that ASVAB.
Can't beat that.
I like that. I sound like you.
I know. That was good, man. Thanks so much for being here. Great to see you, buddy.
All right, appreciate it.
We're going to take a quick break. Back up this.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday morning. U.S. agriculture is bracing for a potential work stoppage at East and Gulf Coast ports. Contract negotiations between the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance broke down in mid-November. The two sides had reached a tentative agreement on wages, but that contract extension is set to expire January 15th. The uncertainty is already impacting U.S. red meat exports. This is according to the U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO, Dan Hallstrom.
We've known that this date of January 15th now for several months. So while that's the final date, the trade is already reacting. We already have exporters, I'm sure, diverting cargo or planning to divert cargo. Ocean carriers are anticipating that. So we already have surcharges in place, and probably there will be more in place between now and the 15th of January. And a lot of our cargo is refrigerated. So there's also the very real possibility that prior to January 15th, a lot of these ports may stop accepting refrigerated cargo just because of the uncertainty around the contract.
About $100 million of U.S. red meat is shipped out of the affected ports on a weekly basis. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom joining us. We'll take a look at your morning markets next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Attend Dairy Strong and help celebrate the Dairy Business Association's 25th anniversary with a special reception the evening of January 16th in Green Bay. Dairy Strong is a must-attend event for everyone in dairy, bringing together forward-thinking farmers and ag professionals to tackle the most significant issues today. The conference January 15th and 16th is filled with innovation, collaboration, and excitement, wrapping up with the reception January 16th. Register at dairystrong.org.
From Chicago, commodity prices are seeing support ahead of the new year. 2025 new crop corn is up a penny and a quarter at $4.40 and a quarter. 2025 new crop soybeans are up 3 1/4 cents, trading at $10.11 and a half. And July new crop wheat is up a penny at $5.67 and a quarter. The January Class 3 milk contract is trading up 2 cents at $20.45 a hundredweight. And the February contract is up 8 cents, trading at $20.75. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Happy New Year's Eve.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are going to have a mix of clouds and sunshine here on New Year's Day. Our high right around 29 this afternoon with wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, 15. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 26. Friday will be mostly sunny and cooler with a high in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. Join the conversation now by calling 920-264-0606. 920-264-0606. Now, once again, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here once again. And we've got Rebecca Rockhill from the American Red Cross. Blood donation needs. Always fun to have Rebecca in the house.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Hey, Rebecca. I am doing great. Gorgeous.
So we were talking about hiking.
We were.
Yeah. And I asked Jim, because he goes hiking in Tennessee, right? Mm-hmm. If you ever saw rattlesnakes.
No. And you live in Camelback. Or did you hike in Camelback or did you live there?
In Arizona.
I lived in Arizona many, many years ago, but yeah. We went out to visit in Tempe and went hiking in Camelback.
And see any rattlesnakes?
No, right. Thank God. Right. We watch for them, though. I have a definite fear.
You have to. So they won't really hurt you, though. If you don't mess with, two things. Yeah,
I don't want to take the chance.
No, I understand.
See that bear over there? Don't worry about it.
No, but here's the deal, though. If you step over a log and he's under there, you kind of step on him, yeah, not so good.
Yeah.
But if you're on a trail and there's one there, he will not mess with you. I've got to find the video. My buddy was on here because when I worked in Tucson, I was coming back from a story kind of out in the desert area, and there was a big rattlesnake coiled up alongside the road. So we got out, and we're taking pictures of it, and I was acting like I was interviewing it and everything like that. They're very, very docile if you don't mess with them.
You're like that guy that goes out and picks up the baby bear or goes right. And tries to get the selfie. Oh,
and then they get gored by a buffalo?
Right. I know. That's right. True. Sometimes I read that, and I'm like, okay, I yeah. feel bad
fitting
for
the
your,
herd.
Right. That's exactly what I think. So.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, no, I saw, there's these two girls. Not I don't know. I go all over the place sometimes. But for
really?
For some reason, I get WLUC-TV in Marquette. Okay? Yeah. I get on my cable here.
Oh, wow.
And they went up to Isle Royal, a place I've always wanted to go. You ever hear of Isle Royal?
Have not.
It's this island in Lake Superior. And it's just pristine.
Gorgeous up
there. Wow. Gorgeous. Like you can't believe.
Is that the one with the tower on that you talked about?
Oh, that's Rock Island, isn't it?
No. Washington? That's, I can't think of the name.
Okay, right. Whatever. Yeah, all right, yeah. Go ahead.
But anyway, so this guy's got a cabin there. You know, he's had it for years and years. And the girls are walking along, and they're like, what's that? And he's like, well, that's moose droppings. And it's like, right by the can. Oh, yeah, sometimes we'll be washing the dishes, and he'll be right outside the window. Moose are really dangerous. And if they want to take you down, a moose will take you down.
I didn't have to tell me. I would just... Yeah, by size alone.
That's what I mean. And if they've got their calves with them, they'll take you down.
Oh, yeah. Especially that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, but my buddy, I said...
Mamas will protect
I can share the pictures. My buddy in Scottsdale, who I stayed with last year when I was there, he had one big rattlesnake. You saw it, Jim, under his pool cover in his garage. Another one under the cover of his barbecue.
It's just in his garage.
But here's the deal. So his wife is such an animal lover. They had to go through classes... And, you know, figure out how to pick them up, how to put him in a bucket, how to put the thing on, where to take them out in the desert and release them. And he said she gets, all he wants to do is unloosen the thing and just toss it out the car. And she gets so mad because that could hurt the rattlesnake.
Yeah. You know, Rebecca, what I would do? I would move.
But you know what happens if you get gored by a moose or something like that?
What?
You might need blood.
There we go. That's good. A segue. That's a segue.
Okay, we're looking to get. That's what I was getting at, Rebecca.
You know what she's saying? Translated, you guys, I came on here to talk about blood donations.
Hey,
and you guys are,
goes together. It all right. Leads about back to the need.
Right. You will lose blood and you need blood.
Right.
That's what I was getting at. Don't interrupt me.
I
was bringing it full circle. Yeah. Quicker.
I felt like the judge saying, look, where are we going with this? You know? Anyway, the American Red Cross, we need blood?
We need blood. Last month, we were down about 20,000 from where we usually are when we look at within a month.
Would that be 20,000 donors
No, it'd be about, about 20,000 donations from where we normally would
be.
Wow,
that's
too
bad.
We need to collect about 136 blood donations each day. I'm sorry, 13,000 blood donations each day to meet the needs. So when we look at how many donations that means per month.
When you say 13,000, in what kind of an area are you talking? I mean, not 13,000
in Green
Bay.
No, that's 13,000 across the U.S.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay.
But when you look at that being per day, and then you look at a month's worth of blood, to be down 20,000 donations is incredible need.
You must look at why. I mean, you have plenty of locations, right? What do you tell me?
We have plenty of locations. We have plenty of donation sites that are both on-site donations within our blood centers or that are out within the community. Everything changes in the summer, right? All of our routines get a little bit juggled up. We have other priorities. We're going on vacation. We're traveling. But the need for blood doesn't change. So what we need is people to keep scheduling those appointments, as they are really great at for some of our regular donors. We need new donors. But not just schedule them, but keep them. Keep coming in. Keep that need constant.
I think I asked this before, but if somebody's having surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Jim was having surgery, I mean, I wouldn't do this, but if Jim was having surgery, could I go there and say, I specifically want to donate blood to give to him for his operation? No.
Nope. You can't do that.
I wouldn't want it.
No.
You wouldn't want mine?
No.
You can't also specifically say you don't want someone's blood.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I hope so bad you have something not catastrophic, but just a little bit.
Wake up craving alcohol.
No, I don't care. Hey, Jim, just so you know, that's my blood you got going in your body right now.
You just want to say you saved his life.
Right, I know. I have to live with that. Like in that, I want to pick up on your point. I want to get back to you, but I think... And Green Bay, this part of the world, summers are very, very special.
Absolutely.
And people are entitled to change their schedule. But even at New Community Shelter, like I was serving dinner last night, it's hard to get people on weekends. Mm-hmm. And I get that. They're at their cottages, and God bless them, they should do that. But, it's tougher in the summer for people like us that rely on volunteers.
Right. And not even the fact that we're losing the number of individuals who are coming in and doing their regular donations, but you're up at the cottages. You're being more active. You're chasing moose. I mean, the chances of having accidents and needing the blood and, being out, being more active really increases as well, where the need for blood, as far as people being in and having those traumas and emergencies, also increase. So as we start to lose donations, is really close to the times where we're needing more and more blood. And we look at even the weather disasters that are happening, that also significantly increases our need and means we need now more than ever to keep those donations coming in.
What would be a couple of things that you'd say, no, thanks anyway, but no, because I remember I was going to give one time, but I'd been in Iraq or Afghanistan or as well.
Isn't that AIDS?
No.
Will they test for... Just wait. Rebecca, do they...
I'm not going to touch that.
Wasn't that a big deal back in the day?
There were some questions that were asked about certain situations that now are not as prohibitive to someone coming in and being able to donate.
But it used to be certain countries, if you're in certain countries...
That's still correct. Okay. That is still where you make
a parasite or something.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And then it may just be a period of time before someone can come in to donate.
Like I bet your daughter from Tanzania, but she wouldn't have been able to for a few years.
Yeah, probably right. So she's down there a couple times.
Yeah, those are all great questions that are part of that health screening that does not take a lot of time. And a lot of times that can be done online through what's called our rapid pass screening. So it's not, you're not making a donation or setting up an appointment for donation, going in and then spending the time doing that and then leaving. You can get that screening online, find out, get some of those questions answered and find out if you qualify right away and nobody's spending time if they need to hold off for a certain period of time.
And how, you talk about your regulars and you have those.
We definitely do.
People that are sporadic, more like me. Do they set a goal as a gallon? Because sometimes you read that in the obituaries, which
they have it
really
on their license plates.
Yeah, they used to do that.
I think that's really cool. Yeah.
It's incredible. I will tell you that just this past spring, we celebrated a donor who hit 176 gallons donated over his lifetime. It's hard to even fathom that, right? We brought out our 5-gallon disaster pails and brought out enough to fill 175 gallons and then put a 1-gallon pail on top. And it was just incredible to see how much that is.
How long do they last?
The blood donations?
Yeah, the guy that gave the... Okay.
He'll last extra long.
That guy's like, yeah. No blood left in him.
But blood, yeah, I think you talk about the frequency. Yes.
Do you ever have to throw it away?
Well, I'll tell you, hopefully never.
Right.
But you make a really great point that that's why it's so important that people are giving on a regular basis. 42 days is the shelf life for blood. And if you're talking about platelet donations, it's only 5 days.
Wow.
So individuals can come in and donate every 56 days, which is why it's really important when we look at the shelf life that we have people making regular donations as often as they can.
Very nice.
The people, do they come to the same place? Because you have drives, and then if someone wants to be a regular, they should probably pick a place.
Like, over by Preble, isn't it? Is it?
Mm-hmm. It is at 2131 Deckner Avenue. Right. It is our regular biomed center.
All right. And then tell me, do you have some drives coming up that people might want?
Oh, we have a ton of drives coming up. We have, wherever you are located, I guarantee you there's 2 or 3 drives during that week. We don't necessarily need people to go to the same place. What we need is people to continue to donate regularly.
Do people get charged then? Like, if I had surgery today and I needed blood, would they charge you? Do you get charged?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
For blood?
Yeah.
Well, it's all a part of your, well, you know, the hospitals are going to charge you for being in there, but you're not going to get an extra. Absolutely.
John's looking
you're
for
not going to get an extra blood charge.
Yeah, no.
A little something on the side.
A little something for the effort.
for the effort. Yeah.
This is great that you do that, though. And, you know, you talk about that in summer, all the different things that, you know, can happen and that. And, you know, I've heard of people where it's like, oh, crap, he's asked to have a heart transplant or something.
Man.
And,
right?
You know, you need gallons upon gallons, right?
And we hear so many people's donor stories that are saying, I give because my family member needed or because I needed. Yeah. And we want people to understand that before they need it, to understand they you never know when trauma might occur for yourself or within your family. And
you ever think about this, though, coming up with something like a special type of refrigerator or something where a person could donate his blood? No, I'm serious. Think about this, Jeff.
Right.
Where he would donate his own blood for himself in case he ever needed it. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
That would be phenomenal.
There you go. Just got to figure out a way to build a certain type of refrigerator.
Take the blood out, get the refrigerator. 42 days, she said.
I think you and Elon Musk need to...
There you
join
go.
Up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You and Elon Musk.
A lot of Musk.
Elon. Lord. See, this is why this is why he's doing radio.
Elon Musk.
This is why. Why he's doing radio. The guy that goes to space.
A lot of Musk.
I think he went back to the Moose Musk.
Yeah, that or.
Wow. Okay.
He sends people to space.
Alrighty then.
Richest guy in the world.
All right. Yeah. Okay,
sure
Jim.
He's looking for John.
One guy I get wrong. All right. Well, Rebecca, one more time, give yourself a plug, who you are, what you do, and what you need.
I am Rebecca Rockhill, the executive director for the Northeast chapter of the Wisconsin Red Cross, and we need blood donors. Head over to redcrossblood.org. You will find drives everywhere. Come on in, sign up, make an appointment, and help save some lives.
Fantastic.
And I can give you a shout out.
Fantastic.
Can they just register? Can they show up? Tell me how you want that.
We always prefer that people make an appointment so that they themselves can get in, get out, do the process.
And how long does it take, roughly?
It roughly takes about an hour. The actual donation of collection of blood is generally 8 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you got your little cookies.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
All right.
That's right.
Nice.
We'll be there. Okay.
Rebecca, thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you, guys. I always enjoy the conversation, no matter where it goes.
Wish all our guests.
All right. We're going to set a quick break. Mind on the Mayor back after this.
Where are you going? The guys aren't done. They'll be right back. But speaking of donating blood, if you donate by January 3rd through the American Red Cross, you qualify for an exclusive Red Cross long sleeve t-shirt while they last. Make your appointment to give the gift of life this holiday season at rcblood.org/appointment. Don't go anywhere. The guys will be back for this very special New Year's Day Let's Get Physical edition of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Just to explain, he kissed his boy as he lay sleeping, then he turned around and headed home again.
Hey, welcome back! Mino the Mayor here on a good looking Monday morning. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS in Oshkosh, and of course, a Civic Media app.
I was laughing at John coming out of the break because he looked in the glass of the window between us and he was fixing his hair. And it was just it was very pleasurable to see him doing that. It was interesting.
Both strands. Okay, we have a great company in the house. Todd, we have a we're on vacation Wednesday, so then you have to. Okay, we have a great.
It was a bad haircut. I got another bad haircut. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to find a regular haircutter.
It's funny. He goes to different places. Every time he goes, he gets a bad haircut. You ever look at the source? You know, I mean. But it's harder to cut you bald guys too, because my wife was a hairdresser. Like people like me, got, you know, all like these guys in here.
Call me a bald guy?
Well, it's thinning. You're not going to argue that, are you?
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to.
You guys, okay, we got to move on. But is it
a little embarrassing when you got company here, Jim? And you,
I should just sit in front of the company.
Jim Murray and Greg Bellavere.
You guys are great.
HME, Home Medical Services. So,
right here on Riverside Drive, and you provide like home health care equipment, everything from a CPAP mask to these unbelievable chairs that
hang on. I got, because this could get personal now. Tell me again. You said, okay, because Jim's got those scars in his face. Okay.
Scars. John, it's not a
scar. I mean, he's Al Capone, basically. But so tell, you said, because I think I'm going to need one of these. Okay. Actually, Jim's wife is hooking me up to get tested. Okay. Mm-hmm. You said there's better masks than there used to be. Tell me about these, because I don't think I would be able to sleep with a mask on.
Right. Yeah. We have respiratory therapists that right in our building. So when you come in and to take care of all your situation you need from the doctor, we have people that will fit you. They will the best equipment, the best fit, everything else. And Jim can go on that.
Yeah, they'll use software and put your face on an iPad.
Really?
And literally, it'll match up your face to the best product.
Wow!
So mask or pillows under your nose, it's incredible software.
Wow, why didn't you do that?
I don't know that
you
they
should
have that.
Maybe it's not too late.
Maybe it's relatively new.
Or it's brand new.
It's brand new, John. What do you say?
I said maybe it is too late.
For you, it's too late.
It's scarred. So it's brand new technology. See, these are keeping up on.
I know.
And people with those sleep apnea used to be, I remember the first time I went through the airport with that machine, and the guy, you know, I think he was bringing a gun on there. But that was 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Or 8 years ago or something. And now everybody has that.
Yeah, we stay on the forefront of technology the best we can. That's one thing Jim and I talk about almost daily. We almost joke about it, how much we know we need to be on that forefront of technology. Everyone's moving forward. And if we're not moving forward, then you're falling behind, right? So right. We always stay on the forefront of what's going on. We partner with different companies. We go to trade shows. We go to different places, see what they're doing, see what other people are doing. What's new? What's the latest and greatest? Let's stay on the front.
And you're serving Northeast Wisconsin. You got a branch in Appleton. You were looking at Sheboygan. Tell me about
Manitowoc, right?
I'm at Manitowoc. Tell me about the other things you do. I mean, you're also a charitable company, and we love doing business with companies who give back to our community.
Yeah, you know, in that season of giving, we're trying our hardest to do.
You're
do
taking
our
part. A different direction a little bit, though. This is interesting.
So this month, we decided to do a promotion where you'll get a sale price on an item if you bring in an unopened can of dog food or cat food or bagged food. And I think it gets you like 15 or 20% off anything in the store. And it is blown up. We've got dog food and cat food.
And explain why you're doing that.
So the Humane Society, we reached out to the Humane Society, and everyone loves their little furry pets at home. And so the Humane Society, the number one need they have is dog food and cat food. All the storms over the summer and late fall that hit the southern states, a lot of those pets get displaced and end up in shelters here in the north. And so they're just busting with dogs and cats, and we want to help.
Never knew that. Never knew that.
And that makes sense that would be their biggest need, right?
No question.
They don't need, I mean, you're going to bring them the blankets or tube. I mean, wow, that's very cool.
Yeah, we do so many things. Like we have the Silver Bells thing going for the Salvation Army right now. In October, we did a lift chair event where we raised over $1,600 for the Alzheimer's Association. We did a team walk. We had an HME team. I think we had about 20 of us.
We work big with the Alzheimer's Association here.
Yeah, really. Carrie said that she did. Yeah. And so we work with them closely. We're trying to, we did a whole, like 20 of us were down there for the walk that morning on City Deck. It's just, we try to do as much as we can. Local is very big to us.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
CP Telethon, we do every year. And again, based on our lift chair sales, we donate a percentage that month to the CP Telethon. Usually comes to about $2,000.
Nice. Wow.
So HME here on Riverside Drive is, you don't need a doctor's prescription. You can just stop in and just look at your chairs, look at the equipment. I mean, you have everything there.
Absolutely. And our folks are trained to let you know, okay, if you have a benefit in your insurance, that you can utilize your insurance. Some folks don't know a lift chair. There is a benefit that Medicare and some insurances will pay for a portion of that lift chair. So they'll kind of guide you through the process, Mayor. And it's just tell them what you need and tell them how you
That's
use
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
Hey, when you say lift chair, did you watch The Sopranos?
Yes.
Remember Mrs. Soprano, the mom? Olivia, she had that, right? Olivia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of those.
So I always say our lift chairs are not grandma's lift chair anymore.
Right.
The ones you'd see like on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
These things, think of your home theater or these, right. the positioning these chairs go to and the materials they use to make them.
And when you look at them, you don't know it's a lift chair.
Yeah.
My mom has one of those. It's unbelievable and that thing's got like 7 different buttons on. Yeah. I'm just afraid I'm going to see her in there crunched up. Like, mom, no, stop, you know? She loves it. That is the best gift. I got a bunch of brothers and sisters, so when we all pitch in, we can, you know, do something like that. But she absolutely loves that chair. And you walk into her place, and it's like, looks like a regular chair. Yeah. So and that's from you guys.
My dad would take 7 naps a day in his chair. He'd recline that thing, and he just doze off for 20 minutes.
You know, it's places like yours that, you know, we talk about this, what makes the Green Bay area, Northeast Wisconsin, a cool place to live. It's stuff like this, that you guys reach out to the people that need it the most and help give their quality of life a boost.
And I want to just one more plug for you guys, and I can speak because I'm a customer. you've got great customer service, and sometimes people have good products, but they just don't have the service behind it. And you guys do, and everything from insurance to trying something out to referrals. So yeah,
it's a constant effort. Yep. We appreciate that, Mayor.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And one more time, Humane Society, helping them out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So just
can people just drop off stuff for you guys?
Yep. Through the end of November here, so you got a few more days left. Get us some dog and cat food. The Humane Society needs it.
Fantastic. Right. Riverside Drive.
Riverside Drive. Right.
Beautiful.
Jimmy Medical.
All right. We got to take a quick break.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans attack. I'm Brian Clark. 10 people are dead. At least 35 are in hospitals after what the mayor of New Orleans called a terrorist attack.
It was hours after midnight, but New Year's revelers still packed the French Quarter when a man in a pickup truck sped down Bourbon Street directly into the throng of people. Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick says it was no accident.
He was hell-bent on creating the carnage and the damage that he did.
10 people were killed. More than 30 were injured. After crashing his truck, the suspect jumped out and opened fire on police, wounding two officers. ABC News has learned that the man was shot dead by police. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Authorities say improvised explosive devices were also found. The FBI has now taken over the investigation as they ask people to avoid the area. Police say they have been staffed 100% with an additional 300 officers on duty from other departments and agencies. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS.